the intro.
Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Dr. Cashy got the old Google alert again this morning, and it was with our old friend, Professor Michael Easter, who's an investigative journalist, and we work together every once in a while on a few projects, and this is a project that we had worked on together, or rather, he interviewed me, and this article that he written was just published on Medium.com, which is a pretty cool place. Anyway, this is on mental toughness, how it's totally overrated, and our current obsession with it, how it's actually pretty toxic. So this is Professor Easter's article that I'm going to be reading and possibly commenting on as we go, okay? Professor Easter starts with, a few hundred years ago, living required us to perform truly challenging tasks, often hunting, gathering, migrating over a pass in the winter, quitting could lead to dire consequences, you know, like death. Like you started on one side of the country, took 6 months to get to the other side, and it's a completely different group of people and there are babies. It's craziness, right? And for much of the world, it's a bygone. It's only in the past. And yet we love to pretend that life is way harder now than it probably was then. And in a society that is increasingly comfortable, we've become enamored with doing things that are hard for the sake of them being hard. Like military-style training camps. Like, you ever gone to a boot camp? Right? That's the sort of culture that's being passed over. And exercises that have attracted more corporate executives and everyday people seeking self-improvement by virtue of beating the crap out of themselves, because evidently that makes you better at stuff. So, you see this in silly things like grit and society's obsession with, like, idolizing people in the military, okay? Like special operator SEALs, you know, people of that nature. Like, they're kind of deified right now, and that's super interesting. And while Professor Easter is writing his book, The Comfort Crisis, which Dr. Cashy's in a nice chunk of that book, and we'll go over that when it comes out, it's pretty freaking cool. Professor Easter spent months researching the concept, the idea of mental toughness, and we had tons of interactions about it throughout the writing process. And it is essentially, the way he defines it, is a belief that persisting through self-imposed psychological and physical suffering, right? That is essentially what mental toughness is in the way he defines it. The idea which rose to prominence, right, in military, sports, and it has really just spilled over to like fitness and then into corporate culture, it's getting totally ridiculous, okay? And it's often pitched as a secret that makes a person a good athlete or a good leader or a good parent or good anything. Just don't never give up, right? It's that sort of ridiculous mindset. And even though living in our world has become increasingly easy, humans, of course, they still thrive off of challenge and persistence. They still like to make their lives more difficult on purpose. Sometimes just because they're acting silly, and sometimes it's because they want to push their limits and get better. Those are two different things, though. Again, it is how people learn and grow, which is why mental toughness seems so appealing as an end. Like becoming mentally tough so that you can, rather than becoming mentally tough as a result of. Big difference. Mental toughness comes as a side effect. That's for another Coffee with Cashy, okay? So what ends up happening, keeping that in mind, is that it allows people to manufacture artificial challenges. Things that are just difficult for the sake of being difficult, with the assumption it's going to translate to other things in life. Okay? Makes people manufacture challenging workouts, corporate boot camps, personal productivity goals, and then tell yourself that it has some larger psychological meaning. Like, I did this thing that was tough, and because I did this thing that was tough, I can automatically do other things that are tough. That's kind of what people tell themselves, and it gets them into trouble. But toughness in general, it's a really overly simplistic way to think about how humans overcome modern challenges. Modern challenges is a little bit different than, like, if I want to get over that hill, then I have to get over that hill. And, like, that's the only thing that, I, you know, life's a little bit different now. So people run marathons. And they try and outperform the person in the cubicle next to them, or in the Zoom window now, as it were, right? And toughness, in fact, it doesn't even work in the military, to quote Professor Easter here. More on that below. So here's what mental toughness gets wrong. The term originated in legitimate psychology to describe the ability to essentially keep our shit together and push through adversity. That's what Michael Easter determined from the material that he'd consumed. But over time, mental toughness has been perverted. It's been bastardized, commercialized, and given magical powers. Right, you're Dr. Cashing there a little bit. And that, according to a team of researchers in the United Kingdom who studied mental toughness and how it's positioned in popular media, they concluded that mental toughness is a pseudo-concept that is crappy psychology, but rather it's a catchphrase that kind of sells. It's like a glittering generality, like to be mentally tough. It sounds so America, right? But what does it really mean? Nobody knows. It's kind of the point. Why it's so easy to sell things surrounding that concept, right? It's become the hero of your own Instagram narrative, so to speak. So pushing through challenges can, of course, improve confidence and resilience in its own right. And it's possible that this newfound confidence could possibly improve other areas of life. But that intention-intervention gap requires a little bit of purpose, right? But the jump from having a difficult workout or going to a Navy SEAL boot camp and then assuming that you're just going to be able to tolerate everything else in life better is, at best, it's dubious, it's tenuous, it's silly, okay? Does getting trained to get punched in the face a bunch of time help you to get stuck in traffic or stand in line at the bank? No, right? So think in terms of like real life challenges, in terms of how am I going to translate this mental toughness to other areas of my life? Craig Wheeler, a former U.S. Special Ops guy who now develops training programs for various elite military units around the world, told Professor Easter that the stuff pitched as mental toughness training, even real Special Forces selection and assessment camp stuff, they evaluate, they test. They see what a person has. They evaluate what a person has rather than developing what they currently have into something better. Two very different things, okay? By not quitting, a person is displaying a capacity that's already there. That's different than training the person's ability to persist while in the presence of a frustration, to use our SRO language here. That is a result from drawing from previous experiences they've already had as a means to push through. Okay. Again, the only way over it is through it. The only way to resolve things is to go through them in a lot of cases. So consider, surprisingly, the very group that mental toughness is associated with, the kind of like the flagellating, self-flagellating military type training allows people to overcome psychological challenges. That's kind of the idea. Well, then soldiers who face the most challenges should experience lower than average rates of mental health problems. This is false, okay? So what can you do to build the qualities of mental toughness after? So here are a few approaches. Address the underlying motivation you have for solving the problem you want to solve or striving to reach the goal you want to reach. Why do we feel like we need to be more mentally tough in the first place? What problem do you think mental toughness is going to solve? Maybe there isn't. It's just people see it as an end of in and of itself. It's silly. And our individual answers help us to identify the real goal you want to reach or the real problem you want to solve. And from there, you can find a proven approach that's more likely to work rather than just getting tougher. Okay, try harder. Perhaps we become anxious while doing a presentation at work, right? There's a low effort way to break that anxious rut, to get the result you're looking to get, aside from just throwing spaghetti at the wall and punishing yourself and hoping it transfers, okay? Or maybe you feel like your productivity is low in comparison to other people. There's a way to get into a state of flow to get more things done, rather than I'm just going to do things that are super crappy and feel bad for the sake of doing it because then it'll make me more productive. Duh. Okay. Maybe if you're feeling a bit down, you're feeling kind of bummed, there are other tools to help translate that emotional disturbance from a state of distress to eustress. And that's different than punishing yourself to build your mental toughness. Okay. This is about finding the so-called rate-limiting step, and that's a chemistry term. So if you know Dr. Cash, you know he's got a little bit of background in that there, chemistry stuff. So Wheeler, the guy developing these training programs for elite military units, he failed a timed swimming test, okay, when he was entering the Special Forces. And the advice his sergeants gave him were, swim harder. Don't quit. You know what happened? He swam so hard he passed out and almost drowned while doing the test the next time. Was mental toughness his problem? No. There's a difference between mental toughness and physical fitness and biomechanics associated with accomplishing the task at hand, right? And that's the drawback of mental toughness in isolation, Weller says. You can work really hard at doing something very poorly for a long time and then break yourself doing it. Taking something you're bad at and doing it harder, is that the answer? If it doesn't work, do it harder. Because super logical, right? So one day a new sergeant showed up at training, and after Weller got out of the water, and the sergeant said, first of all, this is your parents' fault for raising you somewhere without the ocean or water. Because Weller, he was ignorant of proper swimming mechanics. He knew how to flail and his fitness was good, but his skill of swimming is low. Does becoming mentally tough, would that make him a better swimmer? No, improving his swimming technique would make him a better swimmer, for Pete's sake. Rather than just some non-specific try harder advice, well, they could have given him a training program to improve his freaking swimming skills, okay? Now, chemists call the rate limiting step the least efficient step in a chemical reaction, the one that hinders the entire thing. And so the rate limiting step in Weller's case in this instance was the swimming mechanics. If his overall fitness was fine and his mental toughness was high enough and he still failed, well, then the limiting factor is this technique, right? So this is where proper appraisal and reappraisal and renegotiation of a frustration is so damn important, okay? You can figure out where to put your energy and spend your precious tolerance. And this extends to all domains of life, right? From weight loss to exercise, productivity, learning things, right? If something is going the wrong way, well, then scrutinize each step if you know what the steps are. But most people are ignorant of the steps. They just jump right in and then complain when things fail and then quit, right? So look for what, figure out what the steps are and determine the rate limiting step. And if it's difficult to see where the flaws are, well, then consult somebody who specializes in improving the rate limiting steps of the problem you're trying to solve or the goal you're striving to reach, right? Additionally, you can lean on others. The modern idea of this mental toughness thing, it hinges on people thinking that I'm the hero and I can do it. And that's stupid. Okay, the reality is that all of us, all humans, are bolstered by a larger human ecosystem. Consider the special forces soldiers. Virtually every selection and training scenario where the special operations community is involved, they're designed to reinforce teamwork. Okay? And this is reinforced by several special operations people that I've consulted with personally and the special operations guys that Professor Easter has also interviewed, okay? The soldiers who behave like mavericks, quote, okay, they do crappy relative to the other people that do well in teams, okay? The military is onto something here, and this is where he pulls the Dr. Cashy quote out of his hat. He says, if people suffer together, they have stronger bonds, says Dr. Cashy, which is one of the keys of military training. So this mental toughness BS, ironically, it breeds a necessarily practical dependency on others. And that's what people are missing. Because then the soldiers, the people that are part of the team, will work harder and rise to the occasion to support accomplishing a goal or solving a problem that is bigger than themselves because they know it affects other people in the group. That's what it's about. So draw on a wide variety of experiences. Gifted athletes often do terribly in military selection because they're used to being naturally good at stuff. And Weller is the person who brings this into the fold in terms of making training programs for people. Okay? They're always accustomed to being told that they're doing very well all the time. And then they get into a selection environment and all of a sudden, even if they run fast and do a million push-ups, they still suck. Okay, and everything sucks, and they can't stand it, right? And everyone is telling them they're too weak and to keep going, or that they should just quit, okay? And then they can push harder and then hurt themselves, or they do quit. And there's that weird dichotomy again, right? Just totally missing the point. A paradox in this context, what Weller adds, is that you often see the farming kids do well. The kids who do crappy at everything naturally, but they are good at suffering and apply that suffering to become better rather than suffering for the sake of suffering. And they continue doing the work and they continue improving themselves independent of the feedback they get rather than encouragement, that strange external locus of motivation. And so this highlights a key shortcoming of mental toughness. It's really people seeking a silver bullet. Like, if I just get mentally tough, then I can do all of these things. And that's just wrong. Okay? Life's challenges are composed of many individual challenges wrapped into the wholeness of life. And it's best to prepare for challenges individually. Okay? And while preparing for challenges individually, it does improve your capacity to generalize your resilience and generalize your frustration tolerance outside of that realm. But generically trying to improve your mental toughness in a broad sense and hoping that it translates to frustration tolerance and hoping it translates to resilience in a more specific sense is a little bit backwards, okay? Whether you're public speaking or running an ultra marathon, want to prepare yourself in a way that mimics the challenge you're going to be presented with or you're presented with currently, and that'll better prepare you for other stressors that'll be thrown your way. Because now, when you get a new stressor, a new frustration, well, then you can prepare for it purposefully. You can prepare for it on purpose and with purpose and have a directed approach. Rinse and repeat, and eventually you'll start to see stressors and you'll start to see frustrations that are like the other things that you have experienced, and thus you can pull from those previous experiences and apply. Hopefully that makes sense. Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!